Welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza, working on this pre-recorded program via remote. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Tuesday, August 24th, 2021. Authorities in Eastern Equatorial State have detained several suspects connected to road ambushes.
We arrested a number of people. There are almost 20-something, 29. They are in a police detention. And I proceeded to the scene, and I have to, together with those who are around, we follow the footmark.
And followers of a controversial preacher in South Sudan are calling for his release from police custody.
Oh, he's a man of God. But one thing I take as something very disappointing is the way that he's being treated. He's full of humiliations. He's a high-profile person.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. The governor of Eastern Equatorial State says security forces have detained more than 20 suspects in connection with road ambush in Kapoeta South County last week. Louise Lobong says state authorities are still interrogating the suspects and they will be arraigned in court. For VOA News, Viola Elias reports from Juba.
Eastern Equatorial State authorities say 5 people were killed and 7 others injured following last week ambushed on convoy of vehicles in Kapoeta South towards Nauru Payam. The vehicles were traveling from Kapoeta town to Nauru Payam when they came under attack by unknown gunmen. Eastern Equatorial State Governor Louise Lobong says state authorities have apprehended the culprits who were involved in the attack.
We arrested a number of people. There are almost 20-something, 29. They are in a police detention. And I proceeded to the scene. And I have to, together with those who are around, we follow the footmark of the attackers or the raiders or this criminal. Followed for how many kilometers in the bushes, and we were able to find them somewhere.
Lobong says the suspected attackers were gold miners in the area. He says the attack was carried out in revenge for an incident a week earlier in which a group of women were attacked by armed young men suspected of being from another community.
This was just a revenge attack, and after arresting these people, I went back again, talking to the communities of the people from the area there to take charge of the security of people moving within their territory. I also proceeded to Nauru. I also talked to the Dinga Desem, the resident of Nauru, that they should also assist the government identifying the culprits or those who killed the women, because the killing of the shooting of these vehicles is a result of women who were killed by unknown people who happened to might have come from Nauru.
Lobong says state authorities are still investigating the attack and may arrest more suspects, including those who killed 2 innocent women a week ago. Lobong says he believes when authorities apprehend the ringleaders, it will serve as a clear message to all surrounding communities that no one has the right to attack another community or individual in the state. Lobong says the people of Eastern Equatoria are generally known to be peaceful, but there are a small number of criminals in the state who have been terrorizing people.
All the tribes in Eastern Equatoria, they are for peace. They are actually, there are no enmity between the communities there. What is happening is a few criminals who want to say that for what reason, or either it is economic hardship that pushing them to go on the highways and roads, or just because of person of having guns in their own hand, just want to take lives for like the life of people.
Lobong says the only tangible solution for all of the attacks, counter-attacks, and intercommunal clashes is disarmament, but it must be carried out across the entire region because the state borders 3 different countries, including Uganda and Kenya.
My state, it requires the collaboration with Kenya, Uganda, and Ethiopia, because on the other side, there are also communities who are armed and are raiding each other. So for you to disarm, you must disarm all the neighbors and all the communities, the tribes within South Sudan, and also the tribes who are around the borders of these 3 or 4 countries.
Since last year, several violent attacks have occurred in Eastern Equatorial State. A year ago, a known assailant murdered 5 local miners in the Nakawasiria area of Kapoeta South County, some 30 kilometers south of Kapoeta town. One community accused a neighboring community of carrying out the attack in a large retaliation for a previous attack. The neighboring community said it had nothing to do with the attack. For VOA News, I am Viola Elias in Juba.
Still in Eastern Equatoria State, authorities in Kapoita North County say they have rescued a 7-year-old girl who was abducted along with her 2-year-old brother 8 days ago. The commissioner of Kapoita North County says the abductors shot and killed the children's mother. For VOA News, David Monodanga reports from Juba.
On August 15th, a group of unknown gunmen killed a woman in Nakwa Payam in Kapoita North County and abducted her 7-year-old girl and 2-year-old son. Kapoita North County Commissioner Ipone Emmanuel Lolimo says their investigations indicate that the abductors attacked the woman and her children on their way back from the garden.
They actually grabbed the children from the mother, and because of the pain of the children to the mother, they also followed these people, and she grabbed one of the abductors and was trying to rescue. When the other fellow came and shot the woman.
Lolimo says after tracking the gunmen, security operatives found the abductors. Following an exchange of gunfire, the authorities were able to rescue the girl, but Lolimo says the abductors ran away with the boy. He says they are engaging authorities in the Pibor administrative area to trace the whereabouts of the missing boy and are urging young people in Kapoita not to carry out a revenge attack on the Murule community.
We are talking to the youth to abide by the laws, not to go and do counter-revenge. So, to go to that area and do the killing, so we are engaging the authorities of the Greater Pibor administrative area to trace out the child. So, if possible, if they recover, that would be great news for us. For us, we will have the child with his family member.
Michael Osike, a member of the Council of States representing Eastern Equatoria State, says the attack on the women and her children may have been perpetrated by a group of people who are not satisfied by an agreement signed between the Murule and communities in Kapoita.
That thing is always there, but we'll never come closer to make what you call the real contact with those who penetrating on using that business on that issue of abducting children and so forth. The thing may be these elements who are now still existing there. These are those who are not even convinced. These are those who say that people already forgotten what they have been agreed upon.
Authorities said the rescued girl is now living with her aunt in Nakwa Payam in Kapoita. For VOA News, I am David Monodanga in Juba.
Followers of a controversial preacher who has been in police custody since early July are asking authorities to release him. The South Sudan Police Service arrested self-appointed prophet Abraham Chol from his house on the night of July 9th after he prophesied that President Salva Kiir and First Vice President Riek Machar would end their term of office on the 9th of July 2021. A police spokesperson says Chol is currently detained at the Juba Central Prison and will be prosecuted in court after tests to confirm his mental status are completed. For VOA News, Dingma Gott reports from Juba.
Police carrying a warrant stormed Abraham Chol's house following orders by a Central Equatoria State public prosecutor to arrest him. Chol's arrest was recorded and posted on social media. Video shows how the police stormed into his bedroom and arrested him. Chol said he had a vision that President Kiir and his deputy Machar will not be in power on July 9, 2021, the 10th anniversary of South Sudan's 10th independence. Chol, who his followers referred to as Prophet Abraham Chol, now calls himself King Abraham Kush, son of Adam, son of God. Philip Deng, a cousin to Chol, says the preacher should be given a chance to defend himself in court.
No, he's a man of God. But one thing I take as something very disappointing is the way that he's being treated. He's full of humiliations. He's a high-profile person. He's a head of his church. And there should be a protocol, immunities that are given to people. And the way that he's being handled, like now he's in prison, nobody talk about him.
Princess Eva Samuel is a pastor at Charles Church, which followers call the Kush Kingdom International Divine Royal Family.
Who am I going to decide through here?
He is not helping spiritually only, but physically. The widows and orphans in the kingdom, he is helping them with food and drinking. Lack of his presence now, I am solving many problems. I am seeking from the government of South Sudan or those who have arrested him to release King Abraham. People are in need of him.
23-year-old Angeline Ahmed, who is in charge of counseling and follow-up at Charles Church, also appealed for Charles' release, saying his presence is needed at the church.
There are some people who come from Uganda, they come from Egypt, they come from somewhere for his help, and he's in prison. In that reason, who can help us here? A house without the father is like a salt without, it's like a sauce without the salt.
South Sudan National Police spokesperson Major General Daniel Justin says Chol is in Juba Central Prison under the supervision of the Attorney General and the Judiciary. He says Chol was arrested because he provoked the country's leaders.
Abraham was arrested because he actually posted a video on me in social media. I think you might have gone through it, stating that on Independence Day, there will be a change. The President, His Excellency the President, will not be there and the rest. So this created a situation to the public. People were very worried and all this, yeah. So this, by law, is a crime. Yeah, provoking people and then telling things touching the leadership of the country.
General Justin says tests performed on Chol to determine his competence have been taken by the medical commission to a board of doctors from Juba Teaching Hospital. He says the results are expected any time now. Justin says citizens' freedom of expression is allowed, but it should not go against the law. He also says that people should be confident that Chol will get a fair treatment in prison and a fair trial in court. Chol was also arrested last year for holding a religious service during the government's COVID-19 lockdown. For VOA News, I am Ding Magot in Juba.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. Coming up, the U.S. Food and Drug Administration has given approval for the use of Pfizer COVID-19 vaccine. Find out why after this break.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. Question today.
What image do you think your country has internationally?
My country internationally has a very good image based on its level of security, the gender involvement of women in decision making, and its cleanliness.
Internationally, my country, we are seen as a hospitable country and very friendly and, a strong country to us all.
It is good because, in other areas like the tourism side of it, the security side of it, let me say these days we don't have political instabilities in the country.
My country, at the moment, I think it has one of the poorest image because look at the taxes my country is imposing.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
The World Health Organization and Africa Center for Disease Control say we all can help fight the global pandemic by frequently washing our hands with soap and water or using hand sanitizers. For more information on protecting yourself and others, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa Center for Disease Control. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
South Sudan in Focus is now on WhatsApp. Send us a message on +1-202-630-8011. Tell us what's happening in your area or give us your feedback on the stories you hear on South Sudan in Focus. We look forward to hearing from you on WhatsApp. That number again, +1-202-630-8011.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on The Voice of America. And in our Tuesday Health segment, we look at Pfizer vaccine. The U.S. Food and Drug Administration has given full approval to Pfizer COVID-19 vaccine for people 16 and older. AP correspondent Ashley Adler reports.
This is a pivotal moment for our country in the fight against the pandemic.
Acting FDA Commissioner Janet Woodcock.
We want to underscore that our efforts to move as quickly as possible have in no way sacrificed scientific standards or the integrity of our process.
And she's hoping the approval will push more people to get the vaccine.
For some, an FDA-approved COVID vaccine may instill in them the confidence to go and get vaccinated.
I'm Shelley Adler.
Still on COVID, Delaware State University's Donna Patterson joins International Edition Steve Miller to discuss the FDA-Pfizer announcement and its implication for vaccine inequality. Patterson is a professor and chair of DSU's Department of History, Political Science, and Philosophy. She is also the director of Africana Studies.
I think it's a welcome move. It's much more likely now that people who are vaccine hesitant, who've been waiting for FDA approval, that they will now sign up to get vaccinated. There's a flip argument there, too. Because I've already seen some social media saying, okay, now it's approved, it's about profits, and so there's this other move for another reason not to take it. However, despite that, I think that a lot of people who were on the fence, who were hesitant, who were reticent, now are more likely to go ahead and do it. With this new FDA approval, I knew that there would be new vaccine mandates at the federal, corporate, and institutional level. We're already seeing that.
You know, in terms of now that this is an FDA-approved vaccine, you know, what do you see as the implications in terms of getting more vaccines out to people who do not have it? It's not an issue of hesitancy, which, as you alluded to, could be quelled because now this is an approved drug. But, you know, there simply isn't vaccines getting to those who need it.
Absolutely. I'm going to look at that both domestically and internationally, because I think when you're thinking about equity, we have to also think about what's happening in this country. We're seeing kind of two groups of people who aren't taking vaccines largely, those who are vaccine hesitant and those who are anti-vax. And I think even within there, you have kind of multiple strains of people. So the reasons that people aren't taking them, even though they're hesitant in different ways. Now, I think with FDA approvals, this will help. But globally, I think this is a major issue. And if we see that most of the world is not vaccinated, most of the people who are vaccinated live in the West and in some cases, certain Western countries. But a lot of the world, including the African continent, has low vaccination rates. Right now, the African continent averages about 2%, and there's a great dearth. And what we've seen in recent weeks was that COVAX finally started scaling up again. The U.S. government was working with one of U.S. government, U.K., France, and some other countries have been working closer with the COVAX partners to get more vaccines into African countries. But now, with rising demand in the U.S., will that continue?
So in your opinion, what do you think is a possible remedy for that?
A couple of things. I think sharing the technology, helping scale up vaccine production sites in different parts of the world. Because right now, for instance, in India, they produce a lot of AstraZeneca. You know, there's talk of having some of the mRNA vaccine produced on the African continent. There have been a few countries that have been pegged, Rwanda, Senegal, South Africa. I can't think of the others off the top of my head right now. And that's great. But right now, that production would probably not start until the late 2022 or early 2023. That's too late. You know, is there a way to scale that up quickly, have that production there, have it and distribute it throughout the continent, even if they can get two or three of those sites? both they could help, you know, vaccinating Africa, but also vaccinating other parts of the world, parts of the Middle East, parts of Asia, parts of Latin America, Caribbean, that still need a lot of vaccines. Also, if we're thinking of this long term, with the numbers of variants that we've seen, we're probably going to see strains. And so we're probably going to have to see, you know, some new generations of vaccines for the foreseeable future. So that needs to be there now.
That's Donna Patterson, professor and chair of Delaware State University Department of History, Political Science, and Philosophy. She's also the director of Africana Studies. She spoke with International Edition's Steve Miller. Still on COVID, the Rwandan government launched on Monday the third phase of its COVID-19 vaccination campaign in the capital, Kigali, targeting all residents aged 18 and above. The Ministry of Local Government has warned that those who refuse to be vaccinated may be denied some services in future. For VOA News, Eugene Uimana has details from Kigali.
Hundreds of Kigali residents, mainly youth, on Monday turned out in big numbers at the 30 designated sites to get their COVID-19 vaccines. A cross-section of Rwandans who spoke with VOA expressed their happiness for what they called an opportunity to save their lives from the deadly pandemic. At first, the government targeted elderly people, and we as youth, we thought our turn might take a long time. But I'm very happy and I was amazed to be informed that we can get the vaccine shot. I knew some people who died from COVID-19. That's why I didn't hesitate to come. I am very glad and pleased to have been able to come to take the vaccine. As a young Rwandan, this is a gift granted by the government. I have just been vaccinated now and I feel very well. I am well. I thank countries that are supporting Rwanda to get these vaccines that are saving us. The Minister of Local Government says that it was a good thing that many Rwandans are eager to be vaccinated. Gatabazi Jean-Marie Vianney is the minister. He says people should know that they need vaccines for their own well-being, but also for accessing other public services. You cannot say you won't be vaccinated when the government provided the vaccine. We are reaching on a principle where if you didn't adhere to measures others have been respecting, then you would be privated some services. This vaccination campaign is currently being conducted in Rwanda's capital, Kigali. But as Daniel Ngamije, the Minister of Health, says, the ministry is working hard to achieve its vaccination target.
Our intention is to reach at least 30% of our population which will be vaccinated by the end of this year. And next year, 60% of our population, we expect to get them vaccinated. So this is our target, and we thank all partners who are coming to join us to get vaccines available for us.
The British ambassador to Rwanda, Omar Dahir, says the UK has realized that to win the fight against COVID-19, countries need to be in the battle together. He says his country donates more doses to African countries through COVAX, the worldwide initiative to get vaccines to low-income nations.
I think we certainly are all in it together because we're very clear in the UK that we can't solve this issue by just vaccinating our own population or just vaccinating the European population. If this disease continues to be prevalent in other parts of the world, it will always be a threat to us all. We are going to donate 100 million doses in general by June next year, 80 million of which will go to COVAX.
The new Rwanda vaccination campaign targets 90% of all adult residents of Kigali City in the next 2 weeks. So far, the government says more than 1 million people have received at least one dose of the COVID-19 vaccine. The country is preoccupied with bringing back economic activities in Kigali on a track. Eugene Uimana for VOA Kigali, Rwanda.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
Hello, I'm VOA health correspondent Linor Mudu. The World Health Organization and Africa Centers for Disease Control say we all can help fight the coronavirus pandemic by wearing face masks that cover our mouths and noses when we are in crowded areas. For more information, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest news on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
South Sudan in Focus is now on WhatsApp. Send us a message on +1 202 630 8011. Tell us what's happening in your area or give us your feedback on the stories you hear on South Sudan in Focus. We look forward to hearing from you on WhatsApp. That number again, +1 202 630 8011.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
During this pandemic, the World Health Organization and Africa Center for Disease Control say if you have a fever, a cough, or have trouble breathing, you should stay at home and contact a healthcare facility. For more information, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest health news.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
Let us know what you think about this show. Our WhatsApp number is +1 202 630 8011. We reserve the right to read your brief comments every Friday. That's all we prepared for you this Tuesday. We now leave you with some traditional Lavokaya song from Tore in Central Equatorial State. Some traditional Avokaya song from Tore in Central Equatorial State. I'm John Tanza. Thanks for being part of our evening. Remember to always wash your hands with soap, practice social distancing, and wear a mask when you're out in public places to protect you and others from getting COVID-19. Do not escape from COVID-19 quarantine centers because there is no cure for coronavirus. Join us again tomorrow evening for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.